Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we're talking about split life, the split life, which refers to living in the current life while still being immersed in a past life. So we're going to be getting to the topic very soon. First, I want to invite our callers and listeners to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Facebook and on Twitter, and you may call in if you haven't done so already, 914-338-0164, press 1 to speak with us, and for further conversation beyond the radio show's time allotment, 562-596-7818. We do have a caller. We're going to take our caller first. Neil, hi.
Hello.
By the way, you're sitting there silently. Let's bring on our caller from 954. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. I just wanted to know if Spirit has any messages for me or
Okay.
Anything like that.
Have we spoken with you before?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, what's your name?
Sharon.
Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Where are you calling from?
New York.
New York. You sound like you're from New York.
Yeah.
Are you in New York? What part? Upstate or?
New York? No, in the city. City, New
you
York City.
You are in the city. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Lucky you. Okay. So let's get some information from you. Your birth date is the first.
4/16.
4/16.
55.
55, okay. Mm-hmm. 7, 11, 21, 31, 4, okay. And you haven't spoken with us before. So you're a 31-4, your master number is 4. Sharon, so you are, how old are you now? You're 60, you're going to be 63 years
63.
Old, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
So actually, you're 62, which is the doubling of your karmic number 31, 62.
Mm-hmm.
So there should have been kind of something significant that happened last year. What's going on in your life right now? Anything? What were you going to?
Well, I mean, I just, basically just want to know if, any messages for me or anything you could see, that's going on or will be going on,
Yeah. Hi, Sharon. This is Neil.
Yeah. Hi.
There's a couple of things that lead up to answer your question. One mm-hmm. being that in 1986, there would have been a change in your life at the age of 31. And then consequently, there might have been later than that a divorce. Now, do you recall, did anything happen significantly at the age of 31, between 30, 31, something there?
Well, at 31, I had my son in 1986.
That would be the significant change then.
There's the first mm-hmm. one. And mm-hmm. Was there a divorce in your life?
No.
No. So you're still married?
I lost my husband last week. So.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's the divorce.
Yeah. You see what happens?
It's not a divorce, but it's a loss. It's a separation. Go ahead.
It's a separation. Yeah. We're
sorry. No.
When we say, sometimes on our show, when we say divorce, what we're feeling is the vibration of a separation.
Mm-hmm.
So we naturally have to kind of narrow it down. So Unfortunately, you lost your husband last week, and we really are sorry for you there.
Yeah, and
But
what I want to also say is when I asked earlier about a change, I know she wants kind of
yeah.
psychic information, so it's fine that, you know, she didn't really reveal. But the doubling of her 31, she had a son at 31 and at 62, which is 31 times two, you lost your husband, unfortunately. We are
Yeah.
very sorry. So that's the change that I was looking for.
Yeah, that's right, Sharon.
Right.
So as psychics, we feel the separation, and we have to sometimes narrow down. Was it a divorce, a separation, and then ultimately a death? So that's where we're coming from on that level. Now, I'm going to ask you a question and think about this for a minute. But in your life, were there any pianos?
Yes, I am a pianist. Well,
Yeah.
that was
Well, you see, yeah.
Are you professional pianist
I'm
or?
play I'm play I'm playing 53 years.
So
I'm
you're
not a I just
professional, but you're a
enjoy.
pianist, I mean a lifelong pianist. Okay.
So you see,
Correct.
Sharon, there are a couple of things now to really get into the depth of this, which we really have limited time for, but the idea is that we determine that there's a divorce, which ultimately is a death. At 31, you have your son. 62, the doubling of your karma, you lose your husband. And then what comes in from there is this pianist, the piano. That message, in our category of evaluating, that came from your husband. That message was sent from the other side to you. Now, what that means is that the vibration of your husband crossing over probably sent us a vibrational field that we interpreted, and it came out manifesting as a piano, which gives a certain sense of validation to the idea that it came from him. Now, there's also candles burning, and there seems to be, I don't know, it's weird because things start to float like, the origins of the family background. It seems to be like Russian or something. It's like, it
Like
just,
old world,
yeah,
Europe.
old world. It goes way back, and there seems to be like fine china and just a nice, like a home that has nice things in it. Was there any connection to Russia or
Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe?
Yeah, my background is well, my grandparents were from Russia, Ukraine, so.
Yeah. And in your home, in spite, in your home, is there any fine china? Is there any nice tableware? Is there anything that was handed down?
Yeah, from my mom, from my mom, it was China, we don't really use it, but it was, it's there packed up.
Now, is there a daughter or a sister involved in your life?
Daughter.
Yeah. Now, was that daughter at some point, and don't take this, there's no, nothing dark about this or to worry about, was that daughter at some point sick? Did she go through an illness of any sort?
Physically, I mean illness, mentally or
Well, I don't
physically?
know. We'll just say the word illness.
Not,
A difficult
I mean that.
time.
Well, a difficult time. I mean, I guess, but nothing like really that stands out at in my mind, to be honest.
Is she married?
No.
Well, your children, are they in their 20s, late 20s or 30s?
Yeah.
And do you, it's a son and daughter, or are there others?
Son and daughter. Son and daughter.
Son
And I have two stepchildren.
and daughter. Oh, so you have two stepchildren. So were you, how many, were you married before, previously?
No, my husband was
Husband.
previously.
My husband.
Oh, okay. So he was divorced too before.
Right, he was divorced. Right, I wasn't
Uh-oh.
divorced. He was, you know,
So
not in that sense divorced.
another.
Yeah.
So that's also an element of divorce that, you know, besides the separation between you and your husband, he had a divorce. He
Well,
had a right of.
yeah. I mean, for the sake of the brevity of the show, we're not going to go into details about your husband's, crossing over or anything like that. I mean, he's crossed over, he's on the other side.
We should get his birth date, Joe, just for our records. Do you want to get the birth date? What's your husband's birth date, Sharon?
9/11/43.
Oh, 9/11/43. And he's a 28/10/1.
Okay. So there's a couple of things that, first of all, there's a love. I don't know what state, what emotional state you were in with your husband, if it was a great relationship or a mediocre or up and down or, but he's sending his love. I think, he sends his love. It seems to be a loving, kind thing. I think it almost seems like something came suddenly. And I don't know, sometimes when we hear about somebody declining, it can go on forever, but then there's this sudden motion of time when it just happens. And then you don't worry about the lingering time, it just happens. So there seems to be something abrupt took him. And in that regard, even if it was lingering before, but and there might have been some lingering aspect to this. But in that regard, the consciousness of his soul is still sending you love and protection, that kind of thing. I don't know where this may come from. You may not have know anyone by the name of Pat, Patricia, or Patty, but that name is floating around. I don't know yet where to place it. You may go, well, I don't know anybody like that, and
Right,
that's
I don't.
okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's okay because it may be somebody that might be being sent to you in some regard. Was there a pet in the family, like a dog or a cat?
Yeah, a cat.
So the cat, is the cat still alive?
Yeah.
And was he and was there anywhere, Sharon, a Bob or a Robert?
That was my husband's name.
Yeah.
Robert, Bob.
So the cat, in other words, his vibration is becoming stronger on the radio. And you're actually having I've been doing this, I'm older than you. And I've been doing this since I was, I started when I was 4 or 5. My
Wow.
grandfather was a
Yeah.
psychic.
Wow.
And so I've been doing this a long time. And Kristen, my wife, we've been working together diligently for years.
Wow,
And
unbelievable.
we've devoted our life to this. So you're getting a message from him.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the message is
Well, he's giving
Sorry.
Well,
I'm
he's
like
communicating. So he's communicating with you. So he's revealing these
Yeah.
things, the Russian, the, you know, his
Right.
name,
He's
the items in your
validation,
home,
right?
the animal food.
Validation,
the
You know,
validation,
this is
the
not just a
pianist.
general, you know, I mean, of course, he's sending
Of
love.
course, of
He's sending
course,
love,
of
but there's
course.
some specific information that he's providing to
He
validate
wants me
that
to know that it's authentic. Correct.
Yeah, that he's there. First of all, that he's there. There is some. I don't want to get into any messy details, but there is something about a money problem that seems to be a little bit disturbing to
And
him
sorry to
and having
interject.
crossed
I'm
over.
sorry to interject, but we're going to get to our 929. We see you in the queue, and we're going to get to you in a
Yeah.
couple moments. But go
Yeah,
ahead, Neil.
readings are
Sorry.
basically about 5 minutes. But there seems, I guess you can just keep to yourself, Sharon, but there seems to be a money issue, if that makes any sense to you, that he isn't comfortable with. Like he left something undone. Something's troubling him about a money issue, if that has any bearing on your
Can you
consciousness.
maybe.
Yeah, I can definitely validate that. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now that's disturbing him. It's like he got over there and he went, oh boy, what did I leave undone? Oh, I want to say, I love you, Sharon. I love you. Then he goes, there's a money thing that is bothering me. I don't want it solved. I'm going to be better when it's solved. So, you know, and you know, don't air your personal life on the radio, but unless you want to, but that issue is something that he'd like to see resolved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
but the message is clearly a loving message.
She was going to say something. Go ahead, Sharon.
No. I was going to say, yeah, definitely. I'm trying to, you know, just clear up whatever, you know, whatever it is that's, you know, the issue, you know, and, you know, but, you know, before he left, he just said, you know, I wish I could have done better with you financially. So
well,
I'm like, oh, so
definitely.
I mean, that would be a validation for sure.
Yeah.
So it's very accurate.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Sharon,
very,
hopefully
very
that
good.
Helps. And we do have limited time on the radio show. And there's another.
Right.
Too.
Of course. But thank you so much for your time and many blessings. And I appreciate your time and you're excellent. Really. I'm very impressed. So,
oh, good.
Thank
well,
you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you. And you can follow us on Facebook, Sharon, and here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can connect also for a personal reading, 562-596-7818. And we have a caller from 929.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Mm-hmm. You're on the air, 929. Are you wanting a reading?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Is she going to have a call?
Are you there? Can you hear us? Can you hear us? Are you
okay,
on
I'm
there?
Muting. Oh, I'm muting. Okay, let's bring on 860. Hi.
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 Hello, this is Amy. How are you?
Hi, Amy.
Happy
How are you?
Tuesday. Good.
Happy. Thank you. Good. good.
Yeah.
1673.
Yep. And it's,
you know, it's
I
weird.
Just,
I was thinking about you yesterday, Amy. That's really weird. I just realized.
16, well, oh, you're intuitive.
Yeah, I guess I was picking up on your vibe that you were going to call. Okay, what's going on?
Well, it's been, since the beginning of the year, it's been interesting, to say the least. It's like, things are just happening, and it's just like things that it's like a whirlwind kind of effect, socially and always, you know, as far as my family is concerned as well. So I don't know. I guess I'm looking to have any insight within the next, I don't know, couple months or something of what's going on with my social life, I think, because just to make it clear, last December, I let go of a lot of people who no longer serve me, so my frequency is definitely on a different level now. So I feel like I'm meeting and attracting different types of people, so I don't know what you guys make of that.
Well, that's good, Amy. I mean, it's always great to release the things that you don't need, and good for you, especially because you're going to be hitting your 15th cycle of your master number 3 in December. So you're going to be 45, right?
Right, exactly, December.
So that's, you know, getting rid of the old before you hit a new cycle is always good.
Okay.
What happened with your book, though? I think last show you were asking about which person you should hire.
Actually, I hired a woman, Lori. I mentioned her before. She's great. We're in sync. I have another session with her this coming weekend. So it's really
nice.
Okay,
so was she the one who had the book, has she published before? Because I know there was one that hadn't, there was one that had.
She definitely has. She worked for the New York Times, and she definitely has a lot of experience with like even our first session, just to give you an example, like it was a scene where I was watching TV and just the going back and forth like a, you know, ping pong match from me describing me watching TV and what happened and what I was thinking. It was just a beautiful, you know, she had some great insight, and she goes, you really have a good way of illustrating exactly what you're feeling without getting the audience confused. And writing is, can be tough like that. So it was I really loved my writing, and I was so happy because I was, you know, it's the first, when you're writing for the first session, you're like, oh my gosh, is she going to like this? Is this not good? I don't know. Like, I'm so critical of myself. So
oh, sure. Especially when you're doing something that you haven't, you know, you're with an expert and you're new at it. So, in terms of
constructive criticism too. That's what I love about her, is that she'll tell you, but she won't be like hard nosed about it. So yeah.
And in terms of relationship, like a male in your life, you're probably, that's part of your question, I'm guessing.
I think so. It's more also like, what's happening, I think I mentioned this before, and I don't know, last year, but it's definitely weeding itself out. Meeting people on the frequency level, I don't consider myself better or worse. It's just a matter of, like, can we not talk about small talk if we're in a spiritual group? I want to dive into deep conversation, and I know I can't control it, but it just feels like these people are doing the talk and they're not doing the walk. I don't know. I don't get it. But I'm weeding myself out of that. If I have an inkling, just a little inkling that that's happening, I'm out. That's just, I know what I need to do for me. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't
Do you have like, are, I mean, in terms of your friendships, do you have like some close, really close friends? Are you really weeding people out where you're like getting rid of everybody?
No. I'm not, definitely not an extreme. It's just a little bit difficult. And I did meet a male. And so he's very flirty, even though he has a girlfriend. And I don't want anything to do with that. It's, you know, I don't go that way.
Yeah, good idea to stay away from that.
Deep conversation. So it's a very odd thing. So I'm like, I'm definitely putting up my boundaries with that. So,
but you're really, I mean, she's really social, obviously. You're social. You like connecting with others.
I am, but it just, and people definitely reach, you know, they definitely gravitate towards me. In air quotes, the issue is the fact that I can't go dive deep and like, let's talk about, I don't know, consciousness and awareness and mindfulness. And even though I'm not going to the bar to meet these people either. These are like spiritual groups, you
know?
Right,
because I know, you have talked about you being involved in those groups on past shows. So we know that you're doing that. So you're saying the people that you're encountering in these groups are really not what they claim to be or purport to be.
Exactly. And, oh, I'm a healer, and oh, I'm a teacher, and this is my pet peeve. They come up to you and they're, hey, love, how you doing, love? I'm like, oh, my God. What is that?
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
you know what you mean.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, Neil, I'm going to let you chime in here.
What's going on, Amy, is there's a way you can change this, because it's sort of like, it's not your fault, but it's sort of like you're watching Channel 7 and you want to watch PBS. It's like you're watching commercial television and all the spiritual shows there are like, kind of like sitcoms and comedies and, you know, kind of not superficial. And you're looking for the real thing, the depth of conversation, something deeper you might find on a PBS station. I don't know if you have that out there.
Of course.
So what's happening is that you're just turning to the wrong channel. There's a way that you can recharge yourself and say, okay, universe, wait a minute. I've been viewing the wrong people.
Even though she is participating in what seemed to be like the right places, spiritual.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, so I'm
you
just,
know, you could say, you could go walk into a theater and it says the spiritual quest, and you walk in there And, you know, it's Jim Carrey having a good time with comedy. But Jim Carrey is kind of a spiritual guy, but I don't want to provoke him.
Oh, no, no,
but,
I get what you're saying.
But, you
yeah.
know, you know what I'm saying? You're seeing the title, but you're not getting the content. And hey, love, you know, you're kind of getting the Dean Martin variety of a spiritual show. And that's not what you're looking for. So what you have to do is you have to go inside and you have to say to yourself, all right, I've got the wrong channel. I've got to find the energy of the solid sevens, the people who not just talk the talk, but they walk it.
Yeah.
The sevens that are serious, that are somber, that understand the content of a deeper dialogue that I can engage in. I know they're out there. I just have to find them. So what you have to do is start to gear your direction. So if, in the metaphor, I would say, get off channel 7 and put on channel 24. You got to change your channel. And once you do that, I think you're starting to go there, Amy, I think you're starting to have some consciousness, but what happens is suddenly it clicks in your brain. Hey, I can really be in charge of this. I'm understanding how to direct my energy in such a way that I'm getting what I'm asking for.
Right.
And that,
right.
That is tilting you more towards self-power, which was probably taken away from you from birth up. You probably entered a background where power was taken away from you constantly. So now you're
giving away my power for that matter too. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. So now in these years, you're learning how to get it back. And you have to erase and cut and edit, just like your book. You have to do that with your life. So that you have this perfected paragraph. Ultimately a chapter, ultimately a book that says, I'm now writing my own book, and before my life closes, I am the director of my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's where you got to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear
go ahead.
You saying that, like, with the, you know, emanating what you, you know, the light within you, and then naturally the people will... The right people, people will fall away, and the right people will also be attracted to you as well. So.
Well, and I don't think it's a matter of you not putting out light, Amy. I think you're probably putting out light, but it's about changing something else within, because it's not about her actions or being.
No.
There's nothing confused about your intention, but there's something that needs to change inside.
Your intention is good. Your intention is good. You turned on the TV and you want to see some strong content. You just have the wrong channel on. You're not hitting the right group. So if you go into more depth, you see, you're writing a book. You have to go. Writers are introspective, and you have to go. Your journey is now going deep. You need to solemnly go deep into yourself and find that part of your brain and your psyche that says, "I am connecting to a new tribe," and this tribe also consists of men that are serious and full of spiritual content, and that are authentic. And you got to start saying that and chanting that and meditating on that. And pretty soon you're going to attract the right bee. You'll see.
Okay. Hopefully, Amy, that helps you today.
That helps me tremendously. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You.
Okay. Let us know how things go.
All right. Bye.
Okay, so let's try to bring her caller from 929 on. Maybe she's off for another call. Are you there, caller? It sounds like mice or something.
Oh, we just got in contact with Laura Scudder's.
Granny Goose.
Granny
Do you remember
Goose,
those?
Granny Goose.
Do
Laura
they still
Scudder's.
Make those?
Maybe it was Bart Lehrer. You just can't eat one potato chip. Sounds like she's eating a few.
I think you've watched too much TV in your lifetime.
Oh, I watched a lot.
Okay. So we're talking about
the
split life. So
the split life, man. I tell you, a lot of us are walking through life, but we're really we're walking through a path.
That's
life.
A real, I mean, it's a trip.
Yeah.
It's a trip.
It is.
We recently dealt with some clients in that specific situation. So the circumstances that surround a split life are, I mean, there's some very specific things that go on when someone's living in that reality.
Yeah.
Such as being very, very stuck and not able to get out of it.
Sometimes one of the symptoms is you're stuck and you can't get out.
I mean,
that
you can be stuck with karma. You know, I mean, karma, being stuck in a past life is karmic, obviously, but it's different than just dealing with dense karma. There's specificity to it.
Being stuck in a past life, though, one of the symptoms is people will say, I don't belong here.
Right.
This isn't my time zone. I don't belong here. I'm not connecting to anything. I try and I can't. And this isn't my time on the earth. I feel so separate from everything.
So there may be a difficulty.
The soul comes back and it enters the new body, but the soul is stuck in a past life and it's bewildering to the consciousness of the person that they're not connecting to anything. That's one symptom.
In terms of not connecting, a person stuck in a past life probably will not have been married before, probably will not have a significant relationship. They may have struggles manifesting that kind of...
But that's a good point. Although there are some people who are married and they're not connecting. They feel disoriented. They're not joining with anybody. They just feel out of place. Who was it? The poet Sylvia Plath, and was one that was, she was married, but I mean, she ended up committing suicide. There's been other poets that went through severe difficulty. A lot of women who seem to have a place, they're brilliant, they're poets, they're artists, but they are troubled and they end up committing suicide. A lot of them are poets. You can have
if you are a female poet, check to see if you're stuck in a past life.
Yeah. Sylvia Plath, there was another poet, not Emily Dickinson. Emily Dickinson was kind of a lost soul too, and she died early and left all of her poems in her desk, never published or anything. And there was another poet that had a lot of problems. But the poems, the poetry and the artists, whether it's man or female, I mean, you can be talented, you can make a connection, but you're not really of this earth. You're in a different time zone. Now
Wait a second. You're of the earth. You're just of a different time of the earth.
Yeah, you're not really of this earth.
We're not
of this,
of this time zone. So we're not talking about being from another planet. That's what I want to make the distinction about.
Right. Now, there are those that do find that they have a placement on the planet, but they're not living according to the time. They dress Victorian. They listen to old time music. They don't really keep up with what's going on. And if they do, it's somewhat on a superficial level. They're locked in a different time zone.
Christ was not of this earth, but he wasn't stuck in a past life. So there's a difference.
Well, he was stuck in the Old Testament and then he had a bigger job to do.
Okay.
But there are people who are infatuated with times other than the times they're in. A lot of Civil War fanatics are the result
or,
of being locked in that time zone too.
I would imagine that it would also manifest to someone who might be fixated on a specific geographical region of the earth.
That's correct.
I knew someone who was like that all her life. You know, she had different fixations in terms of European countries,
right.
And still, you know, actually obtained dual citizenship in Italy and the United States. But I would imagine she's probably suffering from that past life.
Right. That's right. I can recall a client that I still see who I said had a past life. And what happened was they went to China and they went through a bike riding tour through China all on their own. And I didn't know about it. But they were compelled to go there. They had no connection to China, nothing. They just felt compelled to go to China. And then in the reading, it came out I said, you know, you had a past life in China. And then the person said, revealed, oh my God.
You.
Yeah, revealed that I was obsessed with China. I didn't know why.
So is this person, because this is not one of, this is a very old client from before I even came in. So is this client stuck in a past life? Because I don't know the details.
In some regards, there can be a kind of shading, you know, when it's dusk and it's light and it's getting darker. Sometimes our past lives merge into the present moment, and we have this very weird association that we are living, we're walking, we're breathing, we're eating, we do what we do, but somehow we don't feel connected, and there's no rational explanation for it. And yet in the darkest moments of our life, when we're very private, we have certain obsessions. We listen to music from the 40s. We are obsessed with the Civil War time zones. We go way back in time, and we have certain obsessions that you can't really explain.
Right.
But something's tapping. You see it, what it's doing. It's tapping the soul of the individual that's encased within the body of the current life.
Right. But being stuck in a past life versus having the influence of past life impact the current life are two different things.
Different.
Totally different.
The flow of existence is that we merge our past lives into our present moment, and it's collective.
Right.
And
I mean,
and it rings like a pure bell through time, that it's just it's just a wonderful melody that comes out. And we make it happen, but a lot of us are trapped. Why? Because in the past life, there was something abrupt happened. It wasn't completed.
So it would have been like maybe an offense committed by.
Might have been an offense. You know, think about it. In this lifetime, what happens to us in our lifetime? We have things that happen to us, and we get stuck with that memory, and we get arrested there, and we don't develop. We're constantly going to therapists and psychics and doctors because we can't get over what? The abuse that happened, the sexual abuse that happened, the emotional abuse that happened, the accident that happened, the physical accident that happened. We can be stuck in one lifetime, more or less, being stuck through times and times and times ago, where our soul is still enclosed within a lifetime that wasn't complete. And sometimes what happens is that past life was so satisfying that it outweighed any further life that the soul went through. So they come back to the planet and they don't want to be here. All they want to think about in their collective unconsciousness is that past life that they once lived in, and that journey that was there.
But
these things come out and things like that. You know, this isn't a new idea. It's been presented before, but we're discussing it to put some more insight into it.
But there's also the case of someone being stuck in a past life that may not be connected to an era or thinking about the past life in terms of the circumstances of that past life, but may have a difficult time manifesting certain things in the current life, so they're
right.
Stuck not being able to fulfill their desires,
okay,
in some regard or another.
So that's an interesting case. That happens between lifetimes. You go to the astral realm, and in the astral realm, you have an opportunity to work things out. And if you are called back to the planet while you're working it out in the astral realm, then what you might be caught in coming back is the confusion that you experience in the astral realm while you're trying to figure things out.
So we're going to get to that a little bit further in detail after we take this caller, Neil. Let's take the caller. So let's see, 508. Hi.
Hey, Kristen and Neil. It's Mary. How are you?
Oh, hi, Mary.
Hi.
I'm just – oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm 10-18-85. I'm a 33-6.
Oh, Mary.
It's Mary.
I was confused for a moment. I'm like, is this
Mary?
No, I know who this is. I did. I'm surprised I didn't recognize
Mary.
Your phone number. 101885.
I'm
rock
and
roll
Mary.
You.
I'm just joking. anyways,
okay,
I just
hi.
Got calling. I had a question for Neil, and I just really wanted to. He's talked about this before, and I never in detail because no one's really ever asked. But just really quick, my dad is very sick right now, and he's very end of life. He's in hospice care right now. But my dad had on his way out of his life. He had look at the past couple of years. It's been like horrific. Like he had to have his legs amputated. He has like a calcification problem in his body and he had to have fingers removed. And it's been like this really slow, drawn out, horrible thing. But the question that I had was, my dad is like a 29/11. And him and I, ever since I was a kid, we just never could get it right. Like our relationship was always very rocky. Cause he's May 1st, 1949, just letting you know. I always wanted to ask Neil about this, like, or even you, Kristen, is like, what makes that 29/11? I know you always say,
Mary, I'm gonna, sorry.
Yep.
It's 29/11 too. So you always have to reduce. It's not, I know a lot of
right.
Numerology
right.
books will talk about 11 being a master number or master builder number. That all
yeah.
master numbers in our form of numerology are reduced to a single digit
okay.
number. So go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, so
no, it's
what
okay.
I was saying is my dad and I always had a really difficult, horrible relationship, like where we just couldn't, like my dad was very just, he always had walls up. He was an alcoholic. Like it was just a very difficult life. But the interesting part is I had a similar relationship with someone who I actually had a child with, and that was the last relationship I've had. And he was also a 29/11 too. Which I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
you know, and I chose to leave that relationship and not, like my parents always stayed together and they, you know, fought and everything. But my question is what makes that number so challenging?
Well, I mean, there are elements of that number that make it challenging that we really can't reveal on the air because we're saving it for our book. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
So.
Okay.
In that regard, I mean, maybe
yeah,
you can
you know,
speak to that in a little bit more.
Mary,
the
reason we can't reveal the depth of our interpretation of what 11 really means in terms of our world is because we're saving it for a massive book we're writing. It's over 800 pages right now as we speak.
Well, it's really like 1,200, but
long
I can't
form,
wait to read it. I can't
and
wait.
We can't wait to finish it. Who knows what's
going to happen? The element and the mystery of what 11 is, and I'm not going to get into debates with other psychics and people think about it, but the element and the mystery of what 11 is a great depth to it. And I'm not saying, or we're not saying that it doesn't have a duality, that there isn't something good about it.
But all numbers,
but it does,
all numbers hold a duality.
But it does have 11 does hold a very intense energy of darkness.
Specifically to Mary, I mean, she's involved with these 29/11
twos. Well, here's why.
She's got an 11
yeah.
in her karma,
got
which
it.
Is surrounded, I mean, the 11 surrounds a zero.
Yeah.
So your specific relationship, Mary, with these people that are 29/11 twos has to do with your karma with these people and the fact that you've got that code in your birth date with a zero in the middle, which is problematic.
Yeah. And with,
okay.
You know, with the 5-1,
which is
the 5-1, your father, your last
yeah.
number is 5 and your
first
number is
1.
In other words, what it is for you and why it also in turn you had a man that you had a child with that was also alcoholic. This comes, now listen closely, from a past life tribal situation.
And wait, what's that birth date, Mary, of the
ex? That was 1/19/1980.
Interesting. I mean, and look at your numbers together. It's like he's one day, born one day.
Well,
there's
an 11 there.
Well, yeah, obviously. 1/19/1980. It's like
what,
a mirror
what was it,
image.
19 what?
1980. So he has the 11 just like you do. His are in his first and second numbers, whereas yours are in your first and third.
He's a 29/11.
Yeah, he's a 29/11 too. We already know that.
Yeah.
And you're his, interesting, like your father, his first and last numbers match your month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10.
I always thought, like, it's strange because my mom, my mom never chose to leave, like, kind of abusive relationship she had with my dad. And she still hangs onto it to this day. But when I was put in a similar situation, like, I had almost the exact situation with my mom. Like, I was unmarried, had a daughter, just like she had me. But I ended up leaving that situation. I didn't stay like she stayed, you know?
Right.
So
which is
I almost
good.
Sometimes that feel like I might have gotten rid of that,
you
know?
Yeah.
You know, changing rather than staying with that person, you left, which is important. What's her birthday?
My mom is 5/26, 58, which is funny because I'm an 85 and she's 58.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's got an 11 in her 5/6 in her month and fire number.
13. Yeah.
23. Oh, she's the same master number as you.
She's a 36/9.
Wait. Oh no. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's a 9. Yeah.
I added wrong. Sorry about that.
Your mother, 9s endure. They just endure and endure and endure. You are a 6, Mary. So you're psychic. You have a certain breakaway with the psychic energy. So you have a certain cosmic psychic consciousness to sort of, you have to be in trouble, but then you have the insight to get out of it. The reason that you've had this problem with your father, with the man that fathered your child, is because of a triangular energy in a past life. So all the souls came back on the present stage, and you're working out this irreversible karma. You have to work through it. The idea of getting through it, though, is that by the luck of the sunlight, you're going to be able to step out of it,
which she did,
and transform yourself and start to build a new life.
Which she did. And by the way, the 9/6, your mother's master number and your master number together become a 15, which is your father's 5/1. So it's funny how
crazy
numbers reinvent
themselves.
Well, it was
just the three of us, you know, like it really was. And it was a very difficult situation when I was growing up. But as I'm approaching age 33, like I feel a complete transformation in how I want to continue, like with relationships and what I want, and that I don't want to repeat these patterns. And I want to, like, I'm like taking relationships extremely seriously now. Like I'm being really cautious and just different. You know what I mean? So
well,
I hope not to create anything like that.
33 is your change, change in your life. And
we've,
you have 2 8s in your birth date, which is going to really be gratifying because it's a rebirth number. So you have a rebirth number coming up with a strong, when 5s are in female energies, that there's a strong physicality. And so 5s for females are very good. They make them very strong. Strong physicality, strong voice, vocally,
and
everything.
And she's a musician. So.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to ask real quick, Mary, what's going on with the guy?
It's still the same. Like, you know, we're working together, and I'm just sort of, you know, it's just, I think I'm just at this point where, you know, like I know what I need from a relationship, and I can't, you know, unless he's, you know, prepared to leave that situation, you know, and, you know, may or may not happen. But at this point, you know, I'm just trying to continue out of my own goals. Like, and we, you know, we're still in contact and we're still extremely close, but, you know, I guess for now there's just a limit, you know, unless he's willing to kind of change. But I get it, you know, like when you're married to someone for, you know, 18 years and, you know, someone comes in, no matter how wonderful they are, sometimes you just so stuck, and he's kind of stuck in that relationship, you know, and I can't be the one to pull him out of it because, you know, someone's got to pull themselves out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the music's going great. I mean, you know, we still keep in touch, and I still feel very much for him, but I don't have a desire to go into a relationship with anyone else. I'm not really looking for that right now. I have my daughter, and her and I live by ourselves. And I'm just trying to focus on bettering myself, you know, and if that works out at some point, that's great. But I really feel like, you know, it's just got to be me and him and that's it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a good way to proceed because you don't want to get enmeshed in something that's, you know, with the wife and so on and so forth, even though there's the open relationship, you know, and I think that maybe hopefully there will be some resolution to the situation prior to your 33rd birthday. So, you know, there's a clearing. Either you're committed to this guy or it moves out of your life entirely and you're ready to find something new.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened for me, I a lot of my life was based around relationships and getting into relationships, and I feel like at this point in my life, I've dedicated a lot of my life since I was 15, having boyfriends and people coming in and out, and I just feel like maybe it's just time for me to work on myself right now, you know?
Yeah, there's no rush to get into a relationship at all.
I mean, I miss being in a relationship, but it's just, you know, I don't know.
Well, you want the right thing to come in. And if this isn't it, you know, waiting for the right person or situation to come up in your life rather than forcing it is definitely better than, you know, this drive to manifest something where, you know, sometimes that can result in a negative situation.
Right. Right.
You know, you obviously were pulled back to the planet for relationship situations because you have a child, right?
She has one child.
So,
I do.
So that is karma. That's karma. But do you also write music? Do you write?
She writes.
Our suggestion to you would be to honor because you have an 8-5 in your year, and that it's going to be your experience as you move forward. So it's the rebirth of writing. You're here to write and compose. The agenda of you having relationships, you went through that karma already. You don't have to have another one. That's not how you're going to transcend. The only thing you have to do is make sure you take care of your daughter and you're an excellent parent. That is important. Mm-hmm. What you have left to do now is to write music. That's
right.
Going to
I feel that.
That will be imposed upon you once you cross over. They're going to say to you, okay, let's get out and see what you've done with this, because that's what you were supposed to do. And the music's supposed to have an enlightened soul type of insight in it.
It does.
Good. Then make it hard, make it insightful, make it real, make it accurate, and raise your daughter with love. And if the relationship comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Probably you're going to probably be in a relationship. Yeah. You're still young. So, our feeling is that at 35, you may even get revisited with a relationship, 35, 36. That's going to be different. You don't need to worry about that. It's not the important thing for you to think about right now. That will come whether you like it or not. There's also going to be something about roller skates. I don't know yet, but roller skates.
What's going on with roller skates?
I was discussing with the guy the other day, the 5 there. I was discussing with him about how people don't roller ski anymore, and how that was always like a really big thing back in the 80s. We were kind of joking about that just the other day.
Yeah, true. I went to roller skating rink.
Yeah. So you see,
right?
That's
remember
a validation.
It?
Yeah.
Mary, that's a validation of what we've just said to you. The roller skate psychic present there, a validation, restores and amplifies and supports our discussion.
Exactly. I cannot, but I will tell you this, Neil, I cannot roller skate, and I'm 32 and I'm not learning.
No, you don't need to roller skate. You don't need to roller skate. It was just a validation that occurred from the discussion you had with your boyfriend there about the discussion. It doesn't mean you have to go roller skate. What's that? I have a pair of roller skates. You have a brand new key.
Yeah, it's that was the 70s song.
Yeah. The key here is not that you're supposed to be a rollerblade expert. You're supposed to be a songwriter.
I know. Yeah, and I feel it.
Do you write lyrics or do you actually write music?
I always say, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but I always say that I'm like a vocal psychic. So basically, because the reason why I say that is because, Neil, you've mentioned this on a couple shows before, which I thought was really interesting, because you always talk about how psychic energy is very like a flow almost. Like all of a sudden you kind of like, you feel like you just pick up on it like a wave. You know what I mean? And when you're writing music, it's so similar. And if I'm reading tarot sometimes,
which I do on occasion, the same thing will happen. Sometimes I'll just be reading and all of a sudden like a picture will come into my mind and I'll just be completely relaxed. But it's just the same. Like when you're sitting down and you're writing a vocal line and a melody, it just comes to you. Like you can't force it. And if you try to, it even makes it worse. But if you just relax, all of a sudden you'll feel it come over you. And a lot of times I feel like I write something and then I listen to it like after I'm done and I go, I just did that. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, that has to do with your six. That's, you know, the third eye, psychic energy. So that's helping you as a writer of music connect with something that's outside yourself and pulling that in. But do you write, is it a melody line? Are you actually writing chords? Do you play the piano? I mean, how do you?
I don't use any instruments. And unfortunately, it always came to me that like maybe in this lifetime I wasn't supposed to be very good at instrumentation because I was supposed to collaborate and work with others. And that's part of the journey is to kind of find these connections where I work with other people and we make these bonds in a way, because I do require somebody who, you know, can sit down and, you know, sit at a piano or, you know what I mean? Or use a guitar and work. But for me, like a lot of times I've done vocal work where I make the entire song out of vocals. So I do.
So it's
like,
a melody
you know,
line. You're writing a melody line
everything.
Essentially. And do you read music or is it?
I don't. And I was never good at that. And I remember, I just sit down and I just find it. Like I always say, it's like being like someone will send me a piece of music and, you know, I just find what they didn't find. Like, it's like being like a detective, you know?
I would say also expand on your education musically. If you're writing music, I would say learn to read music.
Yeah, there's a cosmic intervention because in past lives you've collected enough of the energy that you've assimilated on a cosmic level the interconnection between the words, the music, the voice.
And also the other individuals that are helping her, you know?
Yeah. But it's the cosmic connection that you find most mysterious, and that's connecting to your soul.
We're getting a 60-second warning. So thanks for calling, Mary, today.
Oh, it was great talking to you guys. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we are out of time, and we are back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, callers. Bye-bye.